that you came up.
Let the record show that all the board members attended the closed session, although one was late for the beginning.
Maybe you.
Okay, so with that then, can we go ahead and have the report out of closed session, please? And
yes.
I should point out that Mr. Michael Seitz is sitting in for his brother John this evening.
Yes, the board did go into closed session pursuant to the items described in item A and B under closed session. They only heard items in A in this particular closed session. They heard reports from legal counsel but took no reportable action.
Yeah, and for the record, I'd like to point out we will be going back into closed session to discuss items under item B after the end of the open session. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and have general public comment on items not on the agenda.
Good afternoon. Frank Casilio, Los Osos. I want to bring to your attention, if you haven't noticed, the work that has been done. Used to be called Tri-W. Now it's called the Mid, with the Midtown. And what I'm bringing forward to you is that you notice there's no fence in there at this point. There has been work completed on that site. There's no signs posted to inform the public about this is a restoration site. I think there's one sign, but most of the space is pretty well open. Do not no trespassing, no motor vehicles. There have been a number of motor vehicles on that after it's been contoured. For you who represents this community, I would think you would like the county to let the public know that, you know, that's not a place to drive your vehicle, not to trespass on that particular site or degrade the site, which is costing those of us who live in the Prohibition Zone a sum of money. So we're paying to restore that site, and I don't want to have to pay to restore it after it's been degraded by people who don't know that that's not there for their pleasure. And I think it's not only for our community people who may not know that, because not everybody has Charter. They have Dish or one of the other cables, or don't even have those. And as well as visitors to our area, so they know, so they don't end up getting ticketed by the sheriff, or their sheriff comes along and said, no, that's trespassing, now you're going to have to pay a fine if they get written up. So it's more of that you take the initiative to write a letter to the county asking them, please do some posting so the public will know in this community, whether they live here or visiting, that that's not a place to be riding motor vehicles. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Gwen?
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. And actually, I have two questions, one of them being in reference to a agendized item for the RAC in reference to financing of a water supply project that is under the
region. Ms. Taylor, that needs to be brought up during the consent comments.
I'm talking about public comment that's not on the agenda.
I'm sorry, I thought you said that this was an agenda item.
It's not on the agenda, madam. That's why I brought it up. All right, shall we start over?
Just for clarification, you're speaking about the grant funding that's available?
Correct, and the grant funding that was deleted, and the grant funding that needs to be reapplied for if we are going to get the total funding that we are entitled to if we apply for it. And that came out of the RAC. I'm not bringing it up for just bringing it up. There was a time frame, and it should have been addressed before this meeting. That having been said, I also am wondering what the answer is regarding the notice of public hearing and to adopt the mitigated nitrate testing on the south well, South Bay Well nitrate removal project. There was supposed to be a report on it because it was noticed in the paper, and it was supposed to be heard as a final decision under the EIR within a timely frame, and we have
sulfamethazine, I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing them, carbazepine, the list goes on. These are household chemicals, medicines. Many of them are cancer-causing, or if you have cancer, you might take some of these things. So I don't know what your ailment is, but we're all going to get a cocktail of pollutants, these constituents, from the upper aquifer. I know you're going to talk about your upper aquifer project later tonight, but I wanted to talk about theirs first. And the concern that I have that the community really hasn't had this conversation. The driving force to use the upper aquifer is coming from our consultants, and really the community has been left out of the discussion because we still haven't seen the groundwater management plan. The little hints that we have had are pointing at use of the upper aquifer. Again, that is a polluted aquifer with more than just nitrates. So there's a tremendous amount of money being spent to develop the upper aquifer, and I believe that alternatives exist and that these monies may be better spent on east side wells, and it appears that we aren't going there anymore. So this is a concern that's gone on for me for years. The 2006 Upper Aquifer Characterization Study is on your website. If anyone wanted to peruse it, I encourage them to do so. The use of the upper aquifer is not without risk. Thanks.
Thank you. Richard, and then we'll close public comments.
Richard Margetson, in case this doesn't get brought up in one of the committee reports, the dewatering plan that's been talked about, the one thing I want you to keep in mind if you're talking to the county, they're talking about the amount of possible disposal at Tri-W and Broderson. The wastewater project condition is that Broderson cannot take more than 440 acre feet a year when the project is online. We have to make sure that during the dewatering of this project, the installation of the collection system, that the dewatering that's sent, or the water that's sent up to Broderson, does not exceed that total either, or find out what the stance of the regional board or the Coastal Commission is going to be on that issue. Because if it's as potentially, there's as much water as we've kind of heard there may be, I think we know Tri-W is not going to take it. I mean, we get 2 inches of rain in the winter and we got a lake out there. I don't know what discussions you're having with who, but I think that's a very important point, because I think that's how this is going to play out. I think they're going to find out that they don't have the capacity to add either of them, and that's going to lead to them getting a waiver to dump it back in the bay. I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to play out. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, then, we'll close general public comment. Just a couple of items. I think Frank raises a good issue about the access to the property across the street there. I guess I'm going to defer to Michael on this. Can the general manager write a letter in that regard about that, you know, to restrict access, or do I have to agendize this and have the board authorize the sending of a letter?
I think you can give direction to staff based upon what you just heard in public comments.
Okay. Well, I'd like to do that because I think that's a valid point. That I think that's a valid point, so I think if we could give that direction. If I don't have any objection, we'll give that direction to Susan to go ahead and write a letter about concerns about unrestricted access to that property. And whether it's signs or whatever, I mean, but I think that's a good thing to do. I appreciate Frank bringing that up. Okay, so Susan, we have that for direction. Just quickly on the grant fund issue that Gwen raised, that grant that you're speaking of is a county grant. It's not a CSD grant. The county is going to go, assuming if Plan B, which you know what I'm talking about, if NAPOMO doesn't get their allocated funds, the county will apply for 100% funding for our particular project under that.
Thank you, Honorable President and members of the board. We have checked on, actually we have nothing to submit. There have been no changes since the writing of the agenda, and we would recommend doing a staff. Actually, they have it right here with several resolutions, but you might want to take them individually. But I am available for any questions.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if I understand this, all we're doing is basically doing our annual submission of the tax rates. There's no changes.
So no changes.
It's basically something that has to be done on an annual basis. So, have any questions before we go to public comment? Yes.
Yeah, just one quick question. I understand to be procedural also. That's purely what this is, correct?
Yes. It was recommended that we bring it back even though there weren't any changes, just for continuity purposes.
Okay. So we have it documented that there's no question that. Do we have any public comment on renewing the assessment and special tax rolls? No? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. My understanding from talking to the other Mr. Seitz is I need an individual motion for each one of these particular items. So if somebody wants to go through 3A1, 3A2, but I do need to vote on each item separately.
Okay. Take 3A.
Okay. 3A1.
Yes. So I move that the board adopt the resolutions 2012-22, 2012-23, 2012-24, and 2012-25 to levy certain assessments as listed in the accompanying Exhibit A for the Bay Ridge service charges, Vista de Oro charges, drainage assessments, and wastewater assessment district service number 1 assessments, including the addition of an administrative charge of $3.50 per parcel, and submit these to the County of San Luis Obispo for collection in the fiscal year 2012/13 tax rolls.
And then I did misspeak. I thought we had to have individual motion right. For each one of those resolutions.
That's correct. And I think you only open the public hearing. Well, you open the public hearing as to all, but you need to consider them.
All four of them, right.
Okay, so I need to amend.
We can amend that motion to take out resolution 2012, 23, 24, and 25.
So amended.
Is that adequate?
Yes.
Okay, being that it's a resolution, I'll need to have a I have a motion. I have a second.
Second.
So any further discussion? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Vice President Mulhart?
Yes.
President Hohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so that motion is passed. Then can I have a motion, which is basically the same motion, but substituting resolution number 2012-23?
So move.
Will that work, Mr. Seitz, or
yes.
Do I have to have him read it out?
No. It does work.
It does work?
Yes.
Okay. And who was that?
I'll second.
Moved by Director Wright, seconded by Vice President Mulhart. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Muthard?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
So then we'll accept the motion with the same motion, except for substituting resolution 2012-24 for 2012-23.
So is moved.
It's moved by Vice President Muthart, seconded by Director Vogel.
Yes. So seconded.
I want to get you out of action here.
Keep up.
Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Muthart?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, then we'll have one more motion, which is the exact same last motion, except substituting resolution 2012-25 for 2012-24.
So move.
Oh.
Second.
Moved by Director Wright, seconded by Director Vogel. Any further discussion? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Muthart?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that then, that will complete the public hearings on the 2012-2013 assessment and special tax rolls for those four specific assessments. That will move us then to item 3B, which is to submit the fiscal year 2012. There's a typo here. It should be 2012/2013, I believe. Special fire tax to San Luis.
2012-13 tax rolls.
I second.
Moved by Director Wright, seconded by Director Baltimore. Any further discussion? I just want to thank the fire department for all the hard work and the protection services that they give us, because I still believe our services are second to none in the county, and this is our way of funding it. I hope I didn't embarrass you, Chief Benares. But it's well deserved, believe me. Okay, with that then, we'll go ahead and take a roll call.
Yes. Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Vice President Muthart?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is your voice going to make it through the meeting? Okay, with that then, we'll go to item 3C, which is a hearing to consider all testimony or protests to recording liens and levying assessments on past due accounts as listed in General Manager's Report of Delinquent Solid Waste Charges, and to adopt resolution confirming report, levying assessments, and authorizing liens. We'll go to the staff report, please.
Thank you very much. Yes, at this time, there has been no changes. We called County Mission, or Mission County, Country Disclosal to see if anybody had seen the notice and taken action. We still have Exhibit A as presented to you tonight. Again, it would be appropriate for you to make a motion because these do need to get to the county assessor's office by tomorrow.
Any questions? Yes, Director Baltimore.
Just quick questions. Again, the cost for levying these liens is less than what the liens are worth, correct? This is fiscally worth it.
Well, the lien is attached to the land. It runs with land. And this is just one way that we have in our franchise agreement for us, after numerous times of getting bills, to take care of this situation. We don't get charged, that I know of, for putting any recordations.
Yeah, we're forwarding this to the county assessor, and they actually do the liens.
Oh, that's just, I mean, just one, you know, if we're spending $2,000 worth of staff time for a $1,000 lien.
Yeah, I understand.
Everything we need to do other than transmit this to the county is already done. So.
We'll let it be known that we really don't appreciate this aspect of our staff work. However, it seems to be necessary.
Do we have any other questions or permit further?
Yes.
Are we obliged to do that under our agreement? Yeah.
Yes.
So it's
not.
Yes, it's a franchise agreement portion.
Yeah.
Any other questions before we go? Yes, Director Wright.
Public.
What? I was going to the public. Yes, I am. Do we have public comment on item 3C? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Do we have a motion?
I'll move that the board adopt resolution 2012-27 confirming the report of the district general manager for delinquent solid waste collection charges and authorizing the collection of delinquent charges on the county tax roll as amended if changed. No?
It's not changed, though.
All right. Well, then we'll strike that. The county tax roll, period.
As submitted.
As submitted. Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Moved by Director Vogel, seconded by Vice President Muthart. Any further discussion? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Director Vogel?
Yes.
Director Muthart?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
President Uhlsky?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll move to our last public hearing. Public hearing item at this portion of the agenda.
Yes.
I don't know, I must have what Jan had. It's contagious.
We have two items, two parcels that have delinquent water collection rates. Nothing has been changed since this. Again, the water runs with the land, and this is one way for us to keep our costs down. Unfortunately, we don't like doing it, but they've had an ample notice, at least 6 months, we can't lock them out. I mean, these are fees that they have accrued.
Any questions? Do we have public comment on item 3D? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. I'm looking
this way
because Director Wright's made all the motions.
I'll make a motion on this. I move that the board adopt resolution 2012-28 confirming the report of the District General Manager for delinquent water collection charges and authorizing the collection of delinquent charges on the county tax roll.
Is there a second?
Second. Questions at this week's Emergency Services Committee meeting, and I just want to make some clarifications on that. In June, as we usually do, the inspectors went out and did inspections for every lot within the district of Los Osos and the South Bay Fire Protection District. After a week and a half of inspections, 299 first notices went out to members or public owners of property in Los Osos. Of those 299 first notices advising of an issue, 156 of them were for some sort of hazard abatement issue, and 143 of them for an addressing issue as adopted by this board in the latest Los Osos Fire Code update. Approximately 2.5 weeks later, a second notice was sent out. We brought that total down from 299 to 93 second notices. Of those second notices, 41 were for a hazard abatement issue and 52 were for addressing issues. We have sent now a third notice out. That third notice went out about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Of those third notices, we've sent out a total of 54. That didn't really make sense, but we sent out 54 third notices. And of those 54 notices, approximately 80% of them were still for addressing. So I'd like to bring attention to the board that we'll be starting the third inspection. The third inspection can be a citation inspection, although generally we don't cite on the third inspection. We try and work with the property owners on either the abatement or the addressing. But just as a reminder, the Los Osos Fire Code asks that all residences have an address that is plainly visible and legible from the street. The addressing numbers should be at least 6 inches tall and half inch wide and be of a contrasting color. Now, the way the inspectors went out when they did their inspections, their instructions are if they can see the addressing from the street as if they pulled up to an emergency incident, then that was, in my mind, good enough. We were not measuring addresses to see if they were 5.5 inches or 4 inches, but if they could be plainly seen. So it's my guess that of those 80% out there, there's no addressing whatsoever. So we will be doing inspections here probably in the next week and a half, and we strongly encourage folks to, number one, get it because it's good for them, but two, because it is the Los Osos Fire Code. Is there any questions either with my verbal or with the written staff note I presented to you tonight?
Question. I do have a question. Anybody else have?
One quick one.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you go out to inspect that, is that a nighttime or daytime that you inspect? Does it matter?
It'll be daytime.
Daytime.
And I will be doing it with one of my officers.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have a question?
Just a question on the training. in the staff report. What percentage would it, or maybe it's none, of the training for the trenches, the trench training, is due to the water project, wastewater project? Or is this
there,
just
you have several members of your fire station staff up there that are members of the county fire USAR or urban search and rescue team, Captain Wilcox and Engineer Moriarty. So they had received that already. As a former member, I'd already received it, and probably two or three others, just because it's good training, had received it because we respond to them occasionally. But currently, you probably have 90% of your employees up there, both paid and reserves, who have it, and that's a result of the project.
But I don't. I think the it didn't cost us anything extra to train these people. That's,
absolutely not.
That's your question.
And I thank you.
I know it's in the report here about the fire truck, but maybe if you could just verbalize a little bit so the people in the audience can know what the status of the new fire truck purchases.
Okay. We we did get approval to proceed with the purchase. Engineer Reinhardt went back a week and a half ago to South Dakota with a couple members from CAL FIRE Pismo Beach and met with the engineers who will be drafting the engine, and then met with some of the manufacturers and the people who will be actually making it. And so they went through line by line that 175-page document, picked out what they wanted and what they didn't. We did make some modifications to it, to be quite honest with you. We deleted some items, and we added some items. Just a ballpark, I probably guess we probably deleted, the auxiliary pump, so because we didn't feel we needed it. It was a county spec. So we probably reduced the overall cost of the engine by about $20,000, $22,000, and then added another $2,000 or $3,000 worth of other things that we needed. So they went through it line by line. It was two very long
minutes. And on mine, I wanted to still share with you that we Tech Express had some questions. They got sideswiped when they did their insurance certificate submitted, and we were reviewing it. I just wanted to let you know that is not an issue. We do not need to modify that contract. And at this time, that's all I have to report. Thank you.
I missed the utilities department's report. So, but before we go back to that, I just wanted to point out one thing on the administrative report for everybody's information. Again, we do have people that are watching on television, but it states in the report that we did go ahead and purchase the two television sets for the fire department, so that was done. We got to see those at the emergency services meeting. But also, I think that people who read the paper, in the paper, I think last week there was an article in there about the special districts who were called out by the grand jury. And I just want to thank our staff for this. If you go back and you read that report in detail, which I had the privilege to do, or task, as it were, you'll notice that of all the special districts in the county, there was only three that got out with a perfect rating. We were one of those three as far as transparency of our information to the public and the website. So I think that was a testament to the efforts of our staff, particularly to get all the information posted on the website and to make the information accessible to the public. So, I mean, there was a district, Avila Beach, was called out for having no information, but I was proud of being one of the top three in the report that had no responses required and no concerns expressed. So I'd like to emphasize that as part of the staff report and just congratulate staff on the efforts to do that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And also, since we are reporting out, it is online, but I just wanted to inform the public that's not here that we are trying. We had a problem with our cellular tower. Nextel took it down a year before. They told us that they would decommission it, but it gave us an opportunity to look at some of our contracts, and so we did do a state-funded cooperative buying on our current now cellular phones. And so we were able to get more service for the same price or less than what it was And we'll be looking at that in the future as well for cost-saving effects.
Okay, thank you. And I apologize for taking the reports out of order. So we'll go back and do the utilities report.
And also, I just wanted to comment on that interim when the cell phones were out. I know that there was some creative and innovative sharing of personal cell phones and things like that to make sure that we were all the service was covered. So I appreciate that as well.
I have to tell you, my mother is probably a little behind because she thought it was my husband when he kept on saying, "No, it's Frank."
Okay. So any other comments? Okay. Seeing none, then we can go to the utility department report. We'll backtrack one item here.
Again, we have nothing to report, but staff is available for any questions and comments.
Does anybody have any? Yes, Director Baltimore.
Oh, heavens when you read. I just...
You're on vacation now, so you have extra time.
It seems to be an oddity to me. If I read these numbers right, it looks like the run time on page one of the report, the run time was increased, but the water production was a decrease. Do I read that correctly? I'm just curious as... Why?
The runtime.
Margaret?
The total runtime?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see where you're referring
to.
Probably different rates of pumps.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
Hi. Each one of the well sites has different capacity for their pumps. So Palisades is the largest. So... that's the reason Palisades had been out for a little while for most. Was it out? It was out for some of the time on this during this month of reporting. So,
thank you.
That's it.
And I think if you notice on the charts again, our water consumption has gone down year to year to year again. So I think that's a good trend. And you'll notice when you drive by the rotary sign on the corner there, we have a conservation measure on it now. We kind of came up with that slogan on the spur of the moment, but it's the water you use. How is it?
The water you use is the water you lose.
Right. So we have that up there, and what we're going to do from this point forward, we already have a message for the next cycle, so we're going to be sending messages up on that board every week from now on.
Drive slow, because it's a two.
Will present themselves to LOCAC, and LOCAC members will vote to select. Alan Fraser was appointed by Supervisor Gibson to fill John David's seat. So we now are fully staffed in terms of appointed members. And very sadly, both for LOCAC as a whole and for me as an individual, Fred Delegata has been compelled to resign from LOCAC. There are family issues that are requiring him to travel frequently to the Bay Area. So that means we now have an opening in District 3. The good news about talking about District 3 is the description of District 3 is somewhat simpler than the description for District 2. District 3 is a U-shaped area that includes everything east of South Bay Boulevard, including houses on the east side of South Bay, and everything south of Los Osos Valley Road, and everything west of South Bay Boulevard to Broderson Avenue, an extension of Broderson north to Morro Bay at the Audubon Sweet Springs Nature Preserve, including all houses on both sides of Broderson and the area outside of the urban reserve line to the east, as defined by county planning as the area of influence for LOCAC as of the map in effect in January 2006. That includes a number of residences, a couple of mobile home parks, and a large number of cows. So, all right. Should you know of anyone who would be interested in representing District 3 at LOCAC, both those of you in the room and those who are watching the telecast, please have them contact me, Vicki Millage. And my email address is Vicki, VACKI, LOCAC chair @earthlink.net.
Before you go on, Vicki, I think,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken, your district boundaries are on our website, so if people
yes.
want to find out where the districts actually are without going through the descriptor of having to visualize it, they can go to our website.
That's right, and you should also have the map.
Right.
So
the map is on our website, so if they're interested to see what district they're in, they can do that.
And they can do that,
and
if they still have questions, they can contact me directly, and we'll figure it out.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I wanted
to... I thank you for that clarification. We had a special meeting, the first one in the 3 years that I've been chair, last Thursday, after our regular land use meeting, and during that special meeting we discussed and prepared and then on Monday sent comments to the Regional Water Quality Control Board on the staff report on the draft recycled water management plan. That was I had a number of comments on what a useful meeting that was. It was not in our normal formal full WOCAC session. It was an actual working session for which I acted more as facilitator than a chairperson. We were able to get a number of comments from not only LOCAC members, but several members of the public who attended, specifically to those comments for that. And it has to be the fastest turnaround from meeting to comments sent out. We were on a very tight deadline. We had received the request for comments on that document the day after our June land use meeting, where it would normally have been initially discussed and recommendations made, and we had a requirement to have those comments in by Monday at 5 p.m. So it took a great deal of teamwork and trust of the members of LOCAC for me to draft it, and then I did have the very effective help of three LOCAC members as readers who made suggestions to make it more clear. Right. Any questions? Thank you very much. Oh, well, and I should announce that we'll have our LOCAC meeting next Thursday.
That's with the election right. for District 2, correct?
Yes, amongst other items, which right. will be revealed in the agenda, which will be coming out Monday morning.
Okay, thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. So we'll go to committee reports. We have the Emergency Service Advisory Committee, which mm-hmm. I will give a brief report of, because sure. I think we've covered almost everything.
I think
already.
So, pretty much.
We did meet. We got an update on the fire engine. I think that's going along well. We got to see the television sets that was purchased for both the conference room and for the living area. We also got to two tours while we were up there. We got to see the trenching rescue training area, for lack of a better term. We actually got to go into the trench. For somebody that's claustrophobic, it was my procedure. And he did say, actually, the depth of the concrete was thicker than the 9 inches that was specified, so it was 10 inches or more. So, but they did dowel it in, and they followed the whole program. I mean, it looks...
Hasn't cracked yet?
No.
No.
They did replace the one portion, and then they filled in...
There was
the
a crack that was
with plasticized.
Ground out and something. Plasticized, filled in. Yeah.
So then they're letting it set up, and then they're going to put a final sealant coat on after it sets
right.
for 30 days.
And how much is that going to cost the district, the repair?
$2,000.
It was approximately, I think the quote was 12. You're saying two? Yeah. But let me, no, it probably was $2,000. But let me tell you, it was $1,200 for having an on-site inspection from Wallace Group, and that was waived. So.
But I think, it came out well. So anyways, that's what Emergency Services Committee did.
I thought Wallace waived their fee.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they did. And, yeah. And I wanted to thank the on-site inspector. I can't think of his name now. It's Rick Patlich.
No, I think, given where we were, I think we made out okay. I mean, it looks fine, but
yeah.
Proof will be in the wear of it. But okay, so Utility Advisory Committee. Oh, sorry, Leonard.
Over here. Okay. Yes, I have actually reporting on two utility advisory meetings because we've met twice since the last meeting. In June, we reviewed the use of the action items, recommendations, and update form that we use. The committee finds the form useful but agrees that we need to make it more efficient. It was decided that I would work with staff to reformat the report. The goal of the report is to track the vast number of projects to keep the committee updated in an efficient, succinct way, as well as to provide a vehicle to revisit projects that have stalled or lost visibility. In our July meeting, we introduced a new format under General Manager Update and Review Projects. We currently have about 13 items on our project status list. The list will be maintained by staff now. The new format received positive feedback from the committee despite needing a few corrections and a little tweaking. Back to June, we initiated a discussion regarding the water rates and the effects of the recycled water contract. Committee is in general agreement that the rate structure be reviewed annually to assess progress on capital improvement projects. Also, it was suggested that this item be a joint effort between UAC and FAC because the committee feels that FAC, of course, is better suited to assess contracts. In July, we continued our discussion regarding the impact of the recycled water contract. Staff reported that the first year impact might be around $5,000. Further discussion and input from the revenue subcommittee members, including information regarding errors in the contract, put the numbers upwards of $20,000. So I want to explain the objective of this was to be able to report back to the board a rough idea of the impact, not knowing whether it was minimal or catastrophic. So we wanted to narrow it down in there, and so anything between $5,000 and $20,000 or in those ranges, you know, it's probably, you know, we can work with that. It's not going to be catastrophic. But this time I would like to ask the board if the board has any further direction or action from the UAC regarding that item. Let's see, culminating from our committee reports on the Dow's report and the County Recycled Water report and our board discussions, the committee addressed the issue of the continual reporting of incorrect water usage consumption data for Los Osos. The numbers are based on a 2008 data and are misleading. This is something we've discussed several times in the board meetings and in committee meetings. So the objective of this item was first staff to verify correct numbers, and secondly the committee to recommend a way to publicly document or notify agencies concerned of the necessity to use correct or updated values. I'm talking about the usage where we're talking where it's reported that we're using 70 gallons per day per person versus around 50. So in our July 11th meeting, we continued this discussion, agreeing that on consumption value of 53.3 gallons per day per person is our current consumption. The committee recommended that a letter be sent to the Regional Water Board to convey these numbers. Our previous reports to the board didn't give numbers. It just, on our comments on the Madaus report, we just said they were incorrect. New for us, so they're in the agenda packets for June. Since July's was so soon, we haven't had time to get those in.
Questions?
Yeah, just to confirm, that letter that was sent, that was basic, that was factual, not opinion.
That was factual.
I mean, granted, it shouldn't have been sent without board approval, but it did reiterate the facts that were in the letter that the board had authorized to send, so it wasn't breaking any new ground from that regard. So I think we all acknowledge the fact that, and I'm not going to go with the word incorrect data. I think the proper word is outdated data, but I think we all acknowledge the fact that they're using outdated data where we're looking at consumption figures that are much less than what they're doing. So, and I do, just let me piggyback on that. I did appoint, Leonard and I know this, but I did appoint an ad hoc committee for water conservation, which was consisting of myself and Leonard. We were supposed to give a final report at the August meeting. That was the time frame, but we're deferring that till September. So I'm just expanding the time frame of that ad hoc committee for one more month, because we did have some pressing issues that kind of took us off task. So we will report back to the board in September. Any other questions of Leonard?
Thank you.
Okay, and then we get to the Financial Advisory Committee.
Well, we did review the resolutions that we already have voted on. Plus, we did go over the reviewed the warrant registries, the financial statements, and we did reaffirm recommended we reaffirm the Schedule A contract with CAL FIRE. One thing that came out of it, too, we were discussing in talking about the resolutions, particularly with the Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro, and the fact that they've depleted their reserves, and we're now general funds are being used, will be used to facilitate their pumping up there. And so I'd like to ask the board if we can possibly explore other avenues, either an outreach to those two communities or possibly a 218 protest vote to increase the fees. We're trying, there's some discussion for the county to take over that those two properties sooner than later, but I'm not sure where that's going right now. And it's a little bit of resistance, as usual, from the county. The other thing that came out just in the discussion is that several old work comp claims are still in the books. We're trying to get those resolved and closed out. We don't see why they're still lingering. And other than that, that's pretty much it for the financial.
Any questions? I'll talk about the 218 issue, but any questions before that?
Well, can we give direction to the committee to explore the other possible areas?
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
We are, and I've been discussing this with the general manager. Our next meeting is in 2 weeks. What our intention to do is at that meeting to bring a task list forward for all the committees of items that have been identified so we can have a unified identification of tasks for each committee, okay. Basically saying this is the task that we want you to analyze as a board, your report to do by the end of the year. Obviously it can be done sooner, but that will be one of the items that will be on that task list that we're going to bring forward in 2 weeks. I can assure you that right now. So.
What is that one?
Pardon?
Which one is that?
The Vista Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro. So that will be on the list, and then we'll talk about it. It'll be agendized, and we'll discuss this next meeting. But that is one that's on there for sure. Okay, so then we'll move on to director's reports at other agency meetings. This will come up in later discussion as an agenda item, but Director Muthart was unable to attend the RAC, so both General Manager Morrow and myself attended.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the county dropped the ball on appointing an alternate for us. That will be done at their August board meeting, so you were there, we got to listen mm-hmm. and hear.
Okay.
And that's where the item came up about the grant funding that NAPOMO, because their 218 vote didn't pass, they may not be able to get their grant funding that was allocated to them, in which case the RAC would look at reallocating that money to existing projects that were partially funded, which includes the wastewater component, or other projects. So that's supposed to be done by the 22nd to find out whether NAPOMO is going to be able to fulfill their requirements of the grant. If not, then at the next RAC meeting, they will talk about reallocating the remaining funds. So, I think, anybody go to any other meetings?
I went to the LOCAC meeting.
Oh, you did go. But do you have anything to add to what Vicky
said?
No,
Vicky's
She's here watching you, so.
Yeah. She did make me answer questions, though.
She does that.
To read that one in completion.
I had a question. That was the item I had a question about. So. Yeah,
which item was that again?
5G. Has this gone to the
fact? Yeah, we talked at FAC, and the issue we have, a good example is with the Palisades well going out. We had to have an emergency meeting, whereas particularly going into the wastewater project, there's a lot of unforeseen activities that most likely will occur, and the GM needs to have immediate authority if the board wants to bring it back after the project is completed and reduce it, we can do that. But I think she needs to have the ability to act in a timely manner.
This is the time for pulling items or questions. So.
Well, on this one, you answered my question on the 25 because that seemed like a large number, so I don't want to pull that one. But on the item E, which is nitrate testing, I'm happy with the response, but I'd like it made known. So should I just comment on it right now rather than pulling the item and discussing it?
How about I provide an update?
There you go.
I spoke to Spencer Harris today just to make sure that everything was on order. He has gotten parts and equipment. He is waiting for a couple more pieces. He expects to start in 2 weeks, as it states in the report that they plan to start doing nitrate testing of the wastewater project. This is the county's project by the end of July, early August. He's still on track with that. It is a one-time test that he is contracted to do. However, there may be more tests requested by the regional board. But this purchase order for $18,000 was just for one test, which is going to be approximately 3 months, because the whole thing is going to be a monitoring program from what I'm told. It's a three-month process. He's going to go out there, do the testing, and it takes time for the lab analysis and then a report thereafter. So we should be hearing more about that in a few months.
Right. And so that time frame would be similar to our own time frame if we were to start it now, correct?
Well, actually, it would be a little faster than ours since we are behind the curve.
Well, that's part of my question is they're going to do this testing. The county's paying for this testing. Will we actually see the results?
And it has to be public information, I would assume.
Well, I think the regional board said it has to be out by the January 1st.
But I think that, well, I don't have a discussion now, but I think Craig's question was the pertinent question. We couldn't expedite this any quicker than it's going forward at this point. So that's.
And I don't.
To me, you know, the results, yeah, they come out in January, that's fine.
Right.
They are doing the testing today.
Right. Well, that would give us the baseline that we've been asking for.
And I don't foresee any reason why that would be exempt from the Public Records Act.
Yeah. Well, we're dealing
so
with.
So anybody
county.
Want to pull an item or not?
Nope.
Okay, with that, then we'll go ahead and have, pardon me, public comment on the administrative reports, committee report, and consent calendar items.
Is there a possibility we could have a fourth amendment or something? There's a lot on this.
See how long it takes. Play it by ear. Julie will defer a minute to you.
No, I will not. I'm going to take six. I am Julie Tacker. I do have a number of things to discuss. The first one is I did ask Ms. Millage to stay because I did have some questions for her that I think for the benefit of the public, if you'll let her answer, I'd appreciate that. First comment is your message on the message board is negated by the waterfall in front of it. Okay? Second comment, the Water Utility Department report, I think I want to, I'd like to know exactly how much the Palisades well is pumping and what are we doing to try to limit its use. With regard to Vista and Bay Ridge and the operating in a deficit, I think I anticipated pushback from the county, but maybe we compromise and ask them to pick up the little bit of the difference that is what we're facing rather than taking on the whole enchilada. The administrative report speaks to an insert that went into the water bill. I'm concerned that staff time is being spent on the wastewater project and or printing ink, etc. Also on the administrative report, the comments on the recycled water facility, I guess, are the same letter that you discussed in the Utility Advisory Committee sending a letter. There's no letter for the public meeting with the county. If you could elaborate on that for the public, I would appreciate it. And again, what is the position of the district? because we have not had that in a public conversation. Outside committees, I didn't hear a report on the National Estuary Program. I believe that Marshall goes to that. I am hopeful that the district takes the position that no dewatering water enters the bay through the wastewater project. You are going to discuss item 5I. I have brought a handout. It is the conclusions from the upper aquifer characterization study, just to remind you that use of the upper aquifer for drinking water is not without risk. Thank you.
Thank you. Frank.
Frank Cilio. I want to do a little fill-in on the reports that some people, I think, left out. I'll start with the fire report. If you didn't know, Phil was at the CAF fire. And I don't know if the public knew that. So I'd like to thank Phil and all the people he worked with, because my understanding is no homes were lost in a very rugged area with a fire that could have been really devastating to a lot of people in that area. So thanks, Phil. Did he bless you? No? Okay, I'm filling in on Vicki's report. On June 28th, LOCAC had a meeting also. And in that meeting, one of the items that was discussed was a letter that I've been bringing this issue to this board for a number of years. I requested that the LOCAC would support a letter to the county supervisors requesting monitoring of all new wells. As I brought forward to this board, that there's been an ordinance in place since 1988 saying that new wells, if there's a problem with the water issues in a community basin, that the county engineer can request all new wells to be monitored. And so they're looking at that. At that meeting, they presented the letter, and then Kerry Brown from the planning department spoke up and said that the county is monitoring wells in Los Osos and have been for the last 2 years. I'm only going to stick with the official stuff. I'm not going to try to do my commentary. So at that point, the committee wanted, some of the members wanted to thank, and it's on the record, thank the county for monitoring wells. I'd like to thank Debbie, who's the chair of the Land Use Committee, for writing a letter to Kerry Brown, who asked her to, you know, asked her how many wells they have been monitoring and what is the quantity. And that's the issue of the letter. What is the quantity? Not the level, but the quantity of water being pumped. Kerry Brown's with the planning department. So even though Kerry did speak up about this issue, that yes, the county's doing this, she referred all the questions to Public Works. And the letter by Debbie was written back in July 6th. So at this point, I don't understand if there's any response from the Public Works. I don't think if they were monitoring wells that that information could be given quite quickly. It's been almost, 3 weeks? So I also like to see this board agendize this item to look at the county to monitor the quantity of water being pumped by new wells in the water basin, because you have always said that look at all the water that we're saving. Well, yes, I know this community and part of it have been doing a very good job in their conservation efforts. We need the data and from wherever we can get it to find out those areas that are being pumped by private wells. So the more data, I think the better it would be. So sometime, hopefully you can agendize this to discuss a letter to the county to follow the code that's in their ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Gwen, excuse me.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. To follow up a little bit on what Frank was saying, unfortunately, the number of private wells in the community that draws water out of our basin is not accurate, and it has never been. And unfortunately, the engineering firm that was hired to account for the number of wells in the community did not do a proper and final job on the project, counting the private wells. That having been said, the number E, thank you.
So Richard Margetson. First of all, in the utilities report under water consumption, I find it interesting that last year, and this might not end up being the final number when everything is worked out at the end of the fiscal year accounting, but 228.414 million gallons last fiscal year to 28.044 this fiscal year. We went down a little bit, but considering we had a very dry winter, it would have been real interesting to see how that number tracked at the end, because for the first 5 months we were running almost double-digit reduction from last year. And I think those two numbers solidify the inaccuracies in the water conservation and dewatering, recycling document that can't be. The next thing is LOCAC met and did this, you know, last minute analysis and stuff, and I asked them at least six times over the last 7-8 months to look at this water recycling plan and develop comments and submit them. And on the recycling plan, the only comment that came from LOCAC was dealing with water conservation, that they urge that it be done on the front end instead of the back end. Nothing about the water numbers being wrong, the per capita numbers being wrong. I mean, nothing. I was very disappointed, because that's what the subcommittee is tasked with doing. Dr. Wolf and Monica Hunter are currently in the process. They have already met with staff. They're looking at the recycled and water conservation plan and the dewatering plan. That's their emphasis at this point, and that's what they're going to be reporting on, and that's what they were looking for comments on. So I'll just leave it at that at this point. In the general manager's report on page 1, under the comments to the water board, it says down here at the bottom, the general manager submitted the board-approved water rate subcommittee report and additional language from the UAC to the water board. Previous general manager had submitted this information before to the... Sorry, I hope you heard what I said. To the ISJ. It wasn't the water rate subcommittee. There was a separate subcommittee that looked at the Modalis report, and those are the only recommendations that have gone forward from your board at this point, other than the letter that was recently sent. And that subcommittee was Dominic, Rock, Ron Munns, and myself. That was basically just a summary of what was in the Modalis report. This board has never sent an in-depth analysis of the recycling and water conservation plan or the dewatering plan. Further in the minutes on page, it'd be in the minutes for June 13th for the utilities, item 4. It says, the report such as indoor consumption of 70 gallons, whereas the district numbers are 53.5%. I think there's a typo there. Plus, it's actually 53.2, but you were close. That's a typo. And then, in just finishing up, in a general comment, the contract with the school district and its effects.
I think there's a misunderstanding at this point. There, the contract is inaccurate in the figure that was agreed to between the school district and the county as to what the purveyor original rate was. The rate is going to be corrected somehow at some point. It's going to go down from the 428. I think there's two things you need to have the subcommittee or someone address. What that difference would be, and that's the difference, I believe, is the $10,000 to $15,000 range. The range for the reduction from the 707, that is the top tier in year two, and the 428, that $2.79 times the number of units that they consume outdoors.
That answers to a couple of questions. Chief Vanaris and Chief Vanaris and General Manager Mora will be meeting with the county regarding the emergency services roads on the date to be scheduled.
Right.
So.
And it was about emergency road access.
Right, emergency road access. It was that issue that brought up. And in response to Ms. Tacker's question, this board, well, not this board, but this board did approve a letter to the county back 2 years ago regarding road closure. It did go through public hearing process and was approved by the board, and that letter was sent both to the county planning commission and to the coastal commission. So that's the stated position of the board. I can bring that back, or I'll have it distributed to the board members to see if we want to revisit it, but it's something that we did spend an extensive amount discussing, and we did have public meetings, outreach meetings, to discuss that particular item. So, but I will have that redistributed for everybody.
Sounds like a ESAC thing.
Well, I'll have it redistributed to the board, and then we can decide whether or not we want to task anybody to revisit it or not. Because it did go through an extensive review process. Another question Ms. Tacker had, General Manager review. The reason that's on the closed session agenda, because we are contractually obligated to do a 90-day review, and we wanted to be proactive rather than wait till the last minute. So there's no issues other than we wanted to address our contractual obligations there. And the recycle, Richard's last comment about the 428, et cetera, that's something that we have to deal with. But what approach we're going to take with that is still issue that staff is struggling with. I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, we have until the end of 2015 that we have to directly address it. Not that we want to wait 3 years to address it, but we do want to move sooner than later. But it's something that we want to make sure when we go back to the county that we know exactly where we're coming from. So how we task that one out is going to be coming back to the board soon. So. Mm-hmm. Those are the only comments I had on public comment. Anybody else have any comments? Staff have any comments? Okay. So
well, I was going to comment real quick on Ms. Tacker's comment about the position. I think if I understand what your question is, the position that the board took there was they supported the subcommittee on the Madaus report,
right,
its findings, and that was ultimately sent from staff to the...
the board was approved when we had our previous general manager, or pardon me, the letter was approved by the board under our previous general manager. Just to clarify, to make sure that the letter was sent, General Manager Morrow resent the letter, so
that was,
it was sent twice.
That's right.
So that did clarify our concerns. Mm-hmm. As Richard mentioned, it didn't go into the specific details, but it did express our concerns about the outdated information.
Yes. And I have a copy of the letter that recently went out, but the meeting just happened last week. We didn't have a chance to get all the minutes together, and that right. would have been put in those minutes.
Okay, does anybody have any other discussions? Okay, seeing none then, can I have a motion to accept the administrative reports and committee reports and approve the consent calendar items as presented.
What about correcting the minutes?
Oh, yes, we probably should correct the minutes. Does anybody?
Why don't we pull those and we can bring them back at the next meeting if you'd like. We can have the UAC.
No, it was the minutes for the, it was the 50 point.
53.2.
Instead of 50, it was 50 instead of 53.2.
Richard, just for your information, the number that went out to the regional board was 53.2.
I'm just saying the
numbers. I know.
Can we just has a percent instead of 3.5%.
Okay, we're not going to get into a discussion about it here. Mr. Seitz, I mean, that to me is a typographic correction that we can make without pulling the item. Is that correct, or do we have to pull the item?
That's correct.
Okay, so if unless anybody has objections, we'll make that correction into the minutes as a typographic correction, and then we'll keep it not pulled.
Right, to agree with the letter that was sent. Yeah.
No, to agree with the numbers that were in there, which should be 53.2 rather than 50%.
Right.
And the letter didn't come from the water rate subcommittee, it came from the other subcommittee.
Yes.
In the general manager's report.
That's not a substantive change either, I don't believe, is it?
Well, that's the way it went out, okay? So you'll have to err me
okay,
on
we're not going to have a discussion.
It,
we're not going to have that
you know,
discussion.
I think it's fine.
If the minutes reflect what happened, that's what happened. Yeah. I mean, whether it's incorrect or incorrect, it is what happens.
Right.
Okay, so we can make the correction on the 50 to 53 if nobody objects to that. We'll have to leave the other parts. This is by one board member. They might want to take a short break. Does anybody want to do that, or we want to push through? Oh, pardon me. Ms. Millage had some answers to the questions. Ms. Tacker's not here, but I'm sure they can get related to her.
Yes. I have no idea what I've done or not done.
Thank you.
I do apologize. I did have the candidate names in my notes and just skipped right over that. The two candidates for District 2 are Randy O'Connor and George Wright. A relative?
Cousin.
Okay. On the Lupin Pump Station, I have been informed that it will be coming before us in some fashion. However, as of 5 o'clock this evening, I had not received any information. It's most likely to come before us in September. That could be wrong. In terms of Mr. Osilio's description of what's going on with the well monitoring letter, in fact, he's accurate. We have not received any answers to our questions. And the Debbie he's referring to is Debbie Grisanti, who is the chairperson of our land use committee. And Debbie is also attending RAC meetings, and I received her report from her attendance at the RAC meeting today, and Mr. Caruso did say at that meeting that, in fact, no new wells have been monitored for use, for amount of use, and they intend to begin that process at, I believe, an unspecified time, and when that happens, he's not sure, he's not clear about how enforcement could take place. So we are going forward with our letter based on the information we currently have. We're going to be changing the wording somewhat from the wording that was approved at our last meeting, not so significantly that I think our council members will object if we go ahead and do that rather than waiting yet another month. Those are my answers.
Yeah, and Mr. Caruso's exact words was baby steps. That's what he said.
Ah, Debbie cleaned that up a bit in her report to us.
He said baby steps more than once, so that's why
more
it's
more than once, baby steps.
Yes.
Okay, then.
All right.
Perhaps I'll be able to work that wording into our letter.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So with that, do we want to take a break or continue
quick,
on to our item six?
Quick five-minute.
Five-minute break. Okay, and then we'll go to 6A, B, and C, so
that's it. 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, after that short, brief break, we'll reconvene the board. This takes us to, pardon me, the general action items, item number six. We have three general action items for consideration tonight. Consideration of application for intent to serve, advisory committee appointment, and appointment of a RAC alternative representative. So With that, we'll go to item 6A for the staff report, please.
Mr. President, member of the board, you have before you tonight a request by Wolcott for a conditional will serve letter in regards to property, and he's being represented by Jeff Edwards. There was a staff report prepared for you. It is my information that the county building permit has been suspended, which means that at this present time he has no permit. The Coastal Commission has had an appeal on its books in regards to the coastal development permit for that property since 1998. I am also advised that the Coastal Commission is going to consider a de novo hearing in regards to that within the next 2 to 4 months. And with that, I would suggest that you hear from the applicant and then have discussion amongst yourselves, and we'll decide what we're going to do.
Do we have questions? This item's coming back to us. It was here before we continued for additional information. I just had a couple of questions, I guess.
Sure.
I did some independent review or analysis because I was trying to determine this suspended language. Because we have the letter from Cheryl, building official from the county, saying the permits were suspended. My understanding, and I just want to confirm this with you, suspended means basically they're suspended indefinitely until there's a decision by the Coastal Commission.
My understanding.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and this evening I am representing Anthony Wolcott in this matter, which is an intent to serve letter. Perhaps you've had a chance to read my correspondence of July 16th, where I respond to your staff report. First of all, I'd kind of like to suggest that the staff report's about 70 pages and includes 9 attachments. I would submit to your board that this matter really isn't that complex. And your board's consideration, and I'll compare it to a wheel on a bicycle. Your board's role, you're the spoke on the wheel. You're not the wheel itself in this context. As you know, the matter was continued from your May 9th meeting to generally secure information about the status of the construction permits. And those two construction permits are PMT 2002-17739 and PMT 2002-16046. And your interim general manager, Mitch Cooney, sent a letter to the county in connection with this inquiry. And for the record, I'd like to read the response from the chief building official, Cheryl Journey. There appears to be some misunderstanding. This is a letter dated May 17th, again to Mitch Cooney. It's regarding 1111 10th Street and 1113 10th Street. And it reads, "Dear Mr. Cooney, I have reviewed the long history of these parcels. Consistent with decisions made in 1994 and in 2007, the applications / permits associated with these parcels are valid. The exact status is suspended due to pending approval by the California Coastal Commission. Upon approval by the California Coastal Commission, the applicant may submit plans for review and further processing of the construction permits." So when there's reference to suspension, as your staff report indicates, they're referring to the further processing of these building permits. So, in the sequence of things, the California Coastal Commission will consider a de novo hearing on this matter at some time in the future. And following an approval of the project would be qualified to continue processing of valid building permits. So, Mr. President, I really would like to get this matter resolved. This is why we continued the matter from the May 9th meeting. There is no question in my mind, and by the way, I've talked to Cheryl Journey personally. There is no question in my mind that the building permits I've given you the numbers for are valid today. And but for the processing before the California Coastal Commission, these permits can be issued. So I take exception to the characterization of these permits being invalid. It's simply not accurate. So then why does the validity of these permits matter? What does it mean? Well, it means that certain regulations are applicable and certain regulations are not. So with valid permits, what's not relevant is the septic tank prohibition, Resolution 8313, approved by the Regional Board. What's not relevant is AB 2701, the Los Osos Wastewater Project conditions of approval. They're not relevant. Level 3 severity for our groundwater basin, that's not relevant. Nor is the ISJ or the basin management plan. Those are all irrelevant because this project has valid building permits that predate the moratorium, that is the Regional Water Quality Control Board moratorium. And I'll contrast that to a Coastal Commission moratorium, which is talked about in the staff report, but one simply does not exist. There is no Coastal Commission moratorium. Another issue that I think we've lost sight of is that staff has characterized this application, and if it's approved by your board tonight, as impossible, as something that can't possibly be completed. And I would take exception to that as well. And I would merely direct you to your own district's policy and guidelines, where in paragraph D1, it provides to this finding of sufficient capacity. And as I've suggested to your board, that there is a presumption of water availability in the absence of a declared water emergency or other limitation. And your own John Seitz, typical legal counsel, district counsel, is well aware of the steps needed to impose limitations based on water resource questions. And presumably Mike Seitz, your serving counsel tonight, is also aware of these steps. In fact, I would like to submit for the record the documents related to the Napomo Community Services District moratorium that were prepared in large part by District Counsel John Seitz. And this was heard by the NCSD on May 23rd, 2012. And if you're interested in imposing water limitations, this gentleman is how you do it. So I'd just like to submit that for the record.
You'll need to wrap it up, Jeff.
And indeed I will. Also, absent from the staff report was reference to Title 19, and that's specifically the plumbing retrofit ordinance. And as your board may know, that because we are level severity 3 in our basin, that the only way to secure water for projects, single-family residences and other projects, is to retrofit other properties in the community to earn more water than the projects going to use. In fact, the ratio that the county used in putting the ordinance together was 2-1. I can tell you from practical experience that it's closer to 3-1. That is, for each home that's built, before it can get receive its building permit, it must retrofit homes that equate to really twice its use. And to put this in context, relative to the application before you, each of these homes, there's two proposed, each of these homes will use less than a quarter acre feet of water a year at the 50 gallons per capita per day and assuming a four-person household. The Xeriscape landscape also keeps these numbers down, and Xeriscape landscape is a requirement. So, in conclusion, I'd like to suggest that this is a ministerial action before you. This is not a discretionary matter. In other words, if an applicant meets the specifications of your policy and guidelines, which I would submit to you the applicant has, you have no choice but to approve the matter. This is not, again, a ministerial application or decision. You have a duty to approve this. And I would ask you to do that tonight. And if you have any questions, I'm available for those. So thanks again.
That's it. I do have one question.
I have a question, too.
Oh, go ahead.
Sure.
But please keep your answers brief, Jeff, because I did allow you to go over.
Jeff, you indicate that there is a duty to approve, and usually when someone tells me that I have a duty, they give a citation of authority for the duty, and I don't see anything like that.
Thank you, Mr. President. In response to Director Vogel's question, I would refer him to my May 7th letter that is included in your agenda packet. Water Code Section 350 is...
I've looked at the Water Code, and I see that it allows you to prevent applications. That's one of the things you can do by issuing an emergency. Okay, you can say... We can put restrictions on existing users, and we can
Director Vogel, you're not going to have this back and
okay.
forth here.
Okay. Don't want to. What I want is some authority.
He
that
gave
says,
you the authority. If you accept it, fine. If you don't, fine.
Okay.
I have a question though. The permit's been pending since 1998. Why is it still pending after 14 years?
That is a multifaceted question, Mr. President. We have economic issues, the change in ownership. The Coastal Commission themselves delayed the matter. There was the intervening listing of the Morro Shoulder Band snail. So there's been a number of factors. But the fact remains that the California Coastal Commission, there's a pending appeal before them. And the matter will be heard at some point in the future. This is something that could move forward in a favorable way, quite contrary to maybe some things that that staff has suggested. So it has a long history, but that doesn't make it any less meritorious. And so, again, I would ask your board to do the right thing and approve this, and then let the balance of the process
of
the other
agencies. Just answer the questions, please. You already had your chance.
This is a ministerial act, and we're before you asking you to approve it tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're excused. Mr.
Couple Seitz. Questions. Mr. Edwards, has your client been given notice that there will be a hearing on the de novo hearing in regards to the coastal development permit?
Mr. President, I don't believe I'm clear on that question.
Well, have you
been noticed about a Coastal Commission hearing yet at this point?
We have not been noticed as to a hearing date.
Yes.
No, there's no date
No discussion, just yes.
There's no date set.
Have you been told that that'll occur within the next 3 to 4 months?
No, I've not heard that.
Okay. Are you aware of the staff report in regards to that coastal development permit?
Mr. President, if Council's referring to the SI staff report, I'm familiar. I was at the SI determination. I'm not sure what the question is.
Okay. You're aware that the staff has suggested that the Coastal Commission determine that there's substantial issue determination in regards to the project?
Mr. President, the SI has already been determined. This matter went to the Coastal Commission on appeal. SI was found. So the next hearing is a de novo hearing on the matter.
Right. Okay.
You don't need that. If there are any other questions or no?
No, I'm done.
Okay, you're excused then, Jeff. I just want to clarify what SI is for the rest of the board members here, because I know, because that's what I do for a living. When appeals filed with the Coastal Commission, the Coastal Commission's first step in taking jurisdiction is to determine whether or not there's a substantial issue. So if they find substantial issue, then they get jurisdiction over the project. And then at that point, it's a de novo permit issued by the Coastal Commission. So finding SI is the first step towards the commission. At that point, they gain jurisdiction over the permit.
And that hasn't happened yet.
No, that has happened. They have found substantial issue, but the de novo hearing has not been scheduled nor heard at this point. They found substantial issue in 1998. That's just the fact. I'm just clarifying what SI is because I'm sure most of you have no idea. Do we have any other public comment at this point? All right, period, I mean.
And Mr. President, I'd like to make at least one.
Well, wait, let's see if we have public comment first or not. No public comment? Okay, we'll close public comment then. Yes, we'll bring it back to the board. Mr. Seitz, you have a comment or a question?
Well, I just wish to advise the board that we have been in communication with the State Water Board, and we are told that the hearing, the de novo hearing, will take place within the next 3 to 4 months. I said State Water Board. I've got another case that involves that. I'm sorry, Jeff, but the Coastal Commission, and that hearing will take place within the next 3 to 4 months.
Okay, thank you. So with that information, and we'll bring it back to the board, I just want to go over the options that are presented in the staff report before we go into the discussion so everybody's clear on what options were laid out. And as staff suggests, there may be other options based on the discussion. But staff has laid out a series of options. The first one is to continue it until the Coastal Commission determination is made and a permit is issued. The second one is until they get a determination from both the Coastal Commission and Regional Water Quality. Both those items are continuing the item pending actions by an outside third agent or an outside agency. The third item would be just to deny the intent to serve. The next one is to continue it until the commission appeal is resolved and the county lifts the suspension. And the fifth is to go ahead and prepare a conditional intent to serve with all the requirements that the board would normally attach to a letter and have that come back for the board for adoption at a future date. So what you basically have is a number of options laid out from denial to issuance. So it's up to...
We'll
start with Mr. I think what we'll do for discussion is we'll go across the board and we'll start with you.
I see Mr. Edwards' dilemma based on the 2005 letter from the Coastal Commission saying your letter acknowledges the need for evidence that the Los Osos Community Service District will provide water to the project. So he's stuck in a little bit of a catch-22 here where if we say, well, we're not going to give you anything yet, you have to get something from the Coastal Commission first, then they're going to say, well, we can't give you anything until we know that Los Osos is going to supply you with water. So it's a difficult position I think he's in. My thought is that our concerns are that there are other conditions that he needs to satisfy with regard to the Regional Water Quality Commission as well as the Coastal Commission. And so if the question is only, do we have sufficient water to serve it, this project? And
but tonight, then that's just one less thing for them to go through, and we don't have to see it again. Now, my question on this, and I think I know the answer, is that if a water emergency is declared, this is all moot, right? No. So if this goes through, then it's valid, even if the water emergency?
That will be a decision for the board, but generally, once at an intent to serve, all I can give you is what happened in Pomo, and basically what they determined was that if you had applied for your will serve and had an intent to serve, that that was grandfathered in and was not affected by the moratorium in Pomo.
Just one, I mean, the letter is only valid for 1 year.
Right.
It has to be renewed after that point. So
right.
You would have the ability to terminate it after a year.
Okay.
Pardon me, not renew it, I guess.
Right.
Or
okay.
Whatever, not extend it.
Right. That's
right.
Okay. So, a number of comments and observations. One is that the property owner had this intent to serve letter right back in 2006.
Six.
And the property owner failed in their responsibilities to renew it. And now they've caused themselves grief, okay? And just by simply renewing each year, We would not be here right now. So they failed in their responsibility. It was stated by Director Vogel that the only question is whether we have water or not, and I don't see it as that. In our policy, an intent to serve letter should include each department's condition for service. Well, we can argue whether or not the Coastal Commission is a department, but the fire department, the utility department, such things like that need building plans in order to tell their conditions. There are no building plans because the permit is suspended, contingent the Coastal Commission. So it just seems inappropriate at this time. And we can't give an intent to serve because our departments don't know what to serve. And the applicant can't put together building plans because the permit is suspended. So this is just the wrong place at the wrong time as I see it. That's just simply as that, if you just look at those issues. We can also then, if we want to, talk about the water availability, but I see this simply as the wrong place at the wrong time. Our departments cannot list their conditions for service. The property owners cannot put together building plans and submit them to the county for building because they have a suspended permit. So I do not see justification to give an intent to serve at this point in time.
Just looking at our policy, and I need some clarification on this, that because you brought up the plans, and that was one of my questions. Given a scenario where we decided to accept his application or intent to serve letter, then see, the clock wouldn't start ticking until the plans are approved by the fire department. Is that correct? So yeah, so there would be maybe, in other words, I'm just looking at our routing applications. It has to be they have to be approved by the fire department first. Is that not true?
Well, maybe if I can understand, maybe, and I'll try it because I think I know where you're coming from.
Uh-huh.
The intent to serve has a 1-year time frame. Okay.
Correct.
But subsequent to that, as part of the building permit approval process, those building permits would be routed through the fire department, et cetera, for comments and changes and corrections to the building permit. So we're talking about two different things here. We're talking about the intent to serve, which has a year process on it, but he can't start processing his building permits, routing them through the process until he has all his discretionary permits.
That's what I was trying to get. When does the clock start ticking?
The 1 year would start whenever we approve
it.
Right.
When we approved
it. If we approved it today, it would be today.
That's correct. Okay. I mean, what I was hoping that, I mean, I thought this was going to be a legal issue. It would look at our policy and say, yes, we can, or no, we can't. But it did, one thing, this did allow me to look very closely at our policy. There are several areas here where permits can be revoked. I mean, the one thing that gets me is we are certified in a severity level 3. Is that not an official? That is nothing official.
No.
Okay. The way this is written, the way I understand this.
That's why we're talking about the intent.
I know, but I'm. I understand that, but
I mean, if all the conditions of the intent to serve letter, the conditional intent to serve letter were met, the issuance of the will serve letter would be ministerial.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't want to play attorney here, Mike. But
well, you're doing a good job.
Unless we change the ordinance, which is what I wanted to get. That's the point I was getting to. Go ahead.
Legal counsel made in this, we do have discretion. We can fall back on that, or if we want to go forward. But again, reading our policy, the routing is that our departments will look at the plans. That's our policy.
Yeah.
And then based on those comments, we can issue an intent to serve. There are no plans.
That's what I'm reading, too. That's why I'm trying to get a clarification for it.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like
It has to happen first.
Yeah. My understanding of your policy is that the routing to your various departments comes when the plans are actually submitted to your department for comment, but that comes generally after the intent to serve and satisfying the conditions of the intent to serve.
Well, it says under B, the application will be routed first to the fire department and then the utility department. And then upon the review of the department, the following determination shall be made. It goes through that. And then C is the intent to serve letter.
What page is that?
This is page 1 and 2.
It's Exhibit A.
Exhibit A.
I'm
sorry. Exhibit A.
The policy and guidelines.
And that's where I got confused about when the clock would start ticking.
Right.
Because it sounds like we could say yes, but then we can't actually issue the letter of intent until after these are all things are done.
Well,
could be another year.
Policy C was issuance.
I'm on our policy.
Yeah. C6 says issuance of the intent to serve letter. They got 365 days. So we route the application, and then when those comments come back from those departments, then we.
It's Exhibit A in the packet.
All right. So we route the application through our departments, and our departments make their comments, and then with those comments, we put together our intent to serve and issue it, and then the 365 days start.
That's how I was looking at it.
And that's clear to me, which would give it says.
That's a lot more time than just 365 days.
Well, it doesn't. It's just part of that process. Well,
yes, I know.
So, but the issue is, our departments need plans.
I think we're this. I mean, it says that the applicant shall submit 5 separate sheets of a site plan. There's no building plans. It's a site plan.
That shows approximately square footage, number of stories.
Which they already did.
And they have to get fire sprinklers, all of that.
That has to be done. I mean, this is, and I guess what the distinction I was making is there's a difference between the planning process and the building permit process. This has already been done. It's building permits that haven't been applied for.
What are our comments in this application? We're starting from scratch again.
Yeah.
The 2006 has not been renewed. That's gone.
Correct.
So, what are our comments from our departments on the plan submitted?
I don't know that it has been submitted to the fire department or any other department for comment.
The process has to go first before it comes to us.
That's what it is.
President Ohilski, do you want to ask the applicant if these plans have been submitted to the fire department and the other departments? My reading of this, it looks as if the application has to be routed to the departments before the request for the intent to serve is made.
I don't know. Asking the applicant or the applicant's representative helps us with that issue at this point, because obviously plans were submitted
in 2006. Yeah.
But there's been no resubmittal of plans.
Right. Is that correct?
Well, fire.
I don't understand, because if we look at routing of application, I mean, under current building code, he'll have to have a fire protection system, period. So all this language is really moot. I mean, it doesn't have to be routed.
Okay.
Because we already know the answer to that question, right?
Right. And then the utility department.
But it's.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not comfortable speaking for the fire department.
No, that's building code. There's no question about it.
I'm sorry. I'm not comfortable speaking for the fire department. I would like to see it.
But moving on to the next issue would be the utility department, because if you look at the 2006 conditional intent to serve, they required a 6-inch water main be built in order to. Because it hasn't been looked at since 2006, and because of the changed conditions with regard to the utility department, this 6-inch water main that was required back in 2006 may be a totally different situation. And so before the intent to serve letter should be considered, it looks to me as if it has to be routed to the utility department at least.
And the fire department.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
all
the departments
required.
All departments.
I think that's what this is the board's discretion
to take this back around again, since it has been since 2006. You know, so yeah, I think that's what needs to be done.
And so that's that one issue.
Right. And,
well,
and
yeah, I mean, but
my
thought,
once it gets there, he's got to still come back.
My thought is that if it gets through that process and the utility department says, okay, this is what we need to do to make sure that it gets properly served, then as conditions of service, we can say, and another condition is that it gets approval by the Regional Water Quality Committee and it also commission and also gets approval by the Coastal Commission. So those can be conditions of our intent to serve. So what we're saying to the water, to the Coastal Commission is that, well, if it satisfies all these other conditions, we don't have a water emergency. See, it's not as if I was saying that that was the only thing to consider. You consider all those things, but if it only comes down to do we have the water, which is what the Coastal Commission was asking back in 2005, well, unless we have an emergency, we have the water.
This is how I understand it. The person with authority to say whether or not we have water is the Coastal Commission. That's how I understand this. So there's two issues. One is the routing of this into application, and another issue I see is there sufficient water. The people who have the authority to say that there's a sufficient water are
the county.
Us?
Us.
Coastal Commission?
No.
The county?
Us.
But, I mean, my take would be, since we don't have a restriction, a moratorium in place, that unless we adopted that, we have the ability to provide the water.
Do we have information for us to make that decision now?
No, we don't have that in effect. That's a fact.
Well, that brings up another issue, and that is that something that we should be considering, issuing a water emergency such as they did in Napomo based on the circumstances? That question hasn't really come up before because this is the first permit for a building. Well, okay. And those other permits, we allowed them. No? They were denied on what basis?
There was one request for an intent to serve letter from Holocaust Audubon Society that was denied by General Manager Cooney.
Okay. On the basis of?
I don't know that other than I just know that that was out there.
Okay. I'm just wondering, though.
I'm just stating a fact about what happened. Well,
I'm just wondering if we've denied any on the basis of not having enough water to serve, though.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's something staff, but I can't imagine anybody's applied for something because you can't develop anything.
Right. And so this issue hasn't come up, so we haven't been forced to issue a water emergency, although those conditions might well exist.
Yeah, but I don't think we issue the water emergency. That comes from the county, correct?
No. That's what I'm asking.
Or do we do that? We do that? Okay.
Okay. Number one, the issuance of a water emergency is not on this board's agenda for tonight.
Right.
Second, this board does have discretion, since the last application was approved in 2006, to require him to go through the process again based upon circumstances that have changed since 2006. That would require each department to review and comment upon the intent to serve in regards to requirements. And if it is the board's intention at the end of that process to issue a intent to serve, then we'd move it one more meeting so that we could provide the appropriate conditions to that and it would be approved at the subsequent meeting. I'm not suggesting that you need to go there tonight if you want to have your departments review and comment upon the request for the intent to serve.
I like that direction because we can, in the meantime, determine whether or not we have enough water to serve, and if we determine we do not, then we can revoke this at that point in time.
Well, you wouldn't be revoking because you wouldn't have had it approved it because it would be in the staff process.
So we can go through that process, and again, while that process goes on, then we as a board can determine whether we have adequate water, and if it's determined that we do or do not, we take appropriate actions.
The only qualifier I would throw on that thought process is we're talking about the ISJ process, not us as an independent water provider.
No, we have the right to deny intent.
No, I'm talking about adequate capacity.
The reason for denial.
Right, but The reason for denial would be that we have an emergency that's been passed, is my understanding.
Right.
And so that would be on a different agenda.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
An item on the agenda tonight is the notice of intent to serve.
Correct.
Period.
So the notice of intent to serve, this is what I'm saying, is that we do, as counsel has suggested, goes read through the application, right? And in that, we have question of whether or not we have sufficient water to even serve this. So on this subject tonight, we then have to do our due diligence, however long that takes, to determine if we have enough water. So it's for this process, because this is what's going to come up, and this intent to serve, if it goes forward, we have to go from intent to serve to will serve, and our will serve is based on sufficient water. So for this subject tonight, I suggest that we ask the applicant to go through all the proper channels, because things have changed since 2006, and then we, as a board, ask our staff to see if we have enough water so that when the will serve comes up, we can make the appropriate decision.
The first part of that discussion is fine, but the second part's not on the agenda today.
It is part of this will serve issue.
Well, I think
I think you can separate the two. We can do the intent to serve portion that you're talking about going through the departments, and then you can request that be put on the future agenda.
I agree.
But that is not, we can't determine the water tonight.
No, we can't determine it tonight.
Well, no, we can't even include that in this decision.
No, but I want to give our board the comfort of that
issue.
That's
fine. You still have to divorce the two.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to separate. I mean, you have, and I don't want to go into a discussion of that, but the applicant presents information that he's complied with Title 19 for the retrofit ordinance, so that's a factor to be considered in sufficient capacity.
Correct.
So it's not, it's more complicated.
Time out. Correct. So
we're just looking at a notice of intent letter today.
Right, notice of intent letter. Part of this notice of intent letter is direction to staff.
Depends on what we decide to do.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to do.
I think what I'm hearing Craig saying is that it's not ripe yet for a decision on the intent to serve because the applicant hasn't resubmitted his application to the departments who can look at this.
Mr. President, it's not the applicant's obligation to route this or do anything more. We've submitted our plans. It's in the district's hands.
Yep.
5 months ago, the application was submitted. Thank you.
You guys, we need some direction here because we're
okay.
I mean, if you want, I don't know. I mean, this is the hardest issue that's been before the board.
Our policy. Have we followed this policy in this thing? The application's been.
Well, I guess the question is for staff: when they submitted the application 5 months ago, did they follow the submittal requirements that they were required to do? I don't know that.
Well, I don't know that they did that because they didn't have a building permit. They didn't have a
building permit. It doesn't require a building permit. It requires a site plan.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I think condition C has not been followed.
Your A,
B, C. I'm talking about policy. C 1 through 8.
Well, no,
that has not gone through the department.
I'm going back to the question under A2, was that information submitted or not? That's the question there.
Applicant says yes.
Well, if it was submitted, then isn't the issue that we didn't do our job? I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Think
this is simple. I don't.
There's no routing.
We need to route it. It's not, you know. The thing is that the 365 SAs doesn't start until the issuance of the intent to serve.
Okay.
So now we reroute it. There's been no time lost on behalf of the applicant. So let's do our process.
Responding to the question as to whether or not this has been routed to any department, your general manager is new and certainly is much newer than 5 months ago when it is alleged that this was submitted. So I don't believe she has any knowledge that this was, in fact, routed to any of the departments.
I didn't see any plans in the file that was given to me. So, I mean, I'd be happy to research that, but I have not seen anything.
Well, our next meeting is in 2 weeks, so it's not like we're talking about a long time.
Again, we do go through our routing, right? And then we get the comments back. And then based on those comments, we follow our policy. And then we will issue or not issue. And then the 365 days start. And then the clock starts.
I think if we throw it back at the applicant, we can say, look, for us, we don't have a valid building permit at this.
Staff saying that they don't know if it has been or
oh,
not.
Okay.
In the file that I looked at, I did not see any large plans with any comments.
Based on the information that our general manager has, it hasn't been done. So then what we could do is say if the applicant would like, he can work with our staff, resubmit or make sure that what has been submitted complies with what we need, route it to the building department, route it to the fire department, not bring it back in 2 weeks because that doesn't give sufficient time to really look at it, but bring it back in 6 weeks or, the meeting after that, at which point we can then have their input and see whether or not to give it a conditional letter of intent.
I like that because for me, by rerouting it back to the utilities department, they will then make their own determination that if do they work on a suspended permit or not.
Well,
so that's
I think that's a separate issue.
Well, no, that's one of the things that we look, for me is a question. Are we making a decision on a project that technically is suspended and we shouldn't be working on?
Well, but
so that's why I like the idea of going back through.
Well, no, I agree with going back through, but I think the suspended permit is a totally different issue. I mean, our departments don't deal with that. Our departments only deal with doesn't meet our conditions that we have through the utilities and the fire. So I think what needs to be done tonight is this has to be rerouted back through our departments and then come back to us to make a determination on the intent to serve, period.
Because there's a big difference right now. Now we have a sewer project that's in the
things
works
have changed.
That we didn't have in 2006.
Right.
So how can we just say, okay, this is fine, without even looking at that condition? I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Well, we have to have a motion from somebody.
Okay. I'll make a motion. I move that we will give further consideration to this application if it is rerouted. I move that we route this application to the departments set out in our guidelines, the fire department and the utility department, for review in light of changed conditions from 2006 to be brought back at not the next meeting but the subsequent meeting for consideration of the letter of intent.
How about an amendment saying that the applicant shall provide the specifications as listed in the policy
right
for the general manager to route to utilities and fire?
Sure, that the application comply with the CSD guidelines.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Can I have that reread back?
No. I'd like to ask the applicant if that's acceptable to him or not, or if he'd like to comment on it. I need to know his feeling on the motion because it's not something in here.
Mr. President, I appreciate the board's deliberation, but I'd like to make a couple points. First of all, a complete application was submitted 5 months ago to your office. And while we're happy to help piece together what your staff doesn't have, I think it's a
bit of a burden on the applicant to have to put together another package. I guess the homework was lost. But more importantly,
the dog ate it.
More importantly, I'd like to direct your board to the current. The conditions that were established in 2006 on the intent to serve letter then.
Okay.
They're all quite relevant. They talk about the project obtaining all other permits. They talk about it going through the plan check process. And I'm happy to go through them one by one if your board would like. But the conditions for the will serve letter in 2006 were very detailed. And they all apply today. And frankly, having a fairly good understanding of the infrastructure issues in Los Osos and having lived here for 30 plus years, I can tell you there are no changed circumstances with regard to this application. It's my belief that after rerouting or whatever you might consider, there will be no additional conditions to reflect any changed circumstances. There has been 5 months, and I will recognize you've had three GMs during that time, so I understand the problems associated with that, and we are willing to help. But going to September seems to be just a long time. So with that, I'd ask your board to go ahead and schedule it for next month. In spite of the fact it's 2 weeks, I will meet your staff tomorrow morning, and we'll see what we have to do to get the information necessary for you to further consider this. We're willing to help.
Yeah, my main concern is condition 8 talks about the 6-inch water main, and that's the primary concern.
I
would just say, I can say definitively there will be no change in that regard.
Okay, well, that's...
Thank
okay.
you.
I mean, I think if what we're saying is that this process has to be confirmed or followed to make sure that we follow the process. I mean, I don't have a problem with saying it needs to come back in 2 weeks, though. If staff comes back and says we can't do it in 2 weeks, then we can't do it. But I think just putting it out indefinitely is kind of...
No.
And
two
staff's
weeks.
Willing to meet with
if staff can do it in 2 weeks,
well,
then
the applicant and staff get together and find that. And once they get together, we'll know what the time frame is.
I'm just seeing that all I need is five separate sheets, and if nothing's changed, then it shouldn't be difficult to duplicate.
Okay.
And the routing, I can't
sure.
speak.
Sure. Then let's just have it the applicant meet with staff, submit the required plans pursuant to our policy,
A2.
And excuse me?
A2.
And then bring it back on the agenda for next month.
Well, we can't guarantee that because it goes to, we have a little bit of control over fire department, but we don't have any control over utility department.
Well, if staff can do that.
There aren't utility departments.
Given that staff can, yeah.
Right.
It's our utility department.
Well, it's the county.
No. County has no
say. Our utility department.
It's our will server. It's our intent to serve. It's not the county.
Well, then we can control all that. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
unless there was an easement or some other thing that we had to.
Well, but that issue, I mean, all we can do is address the issues. If you want to say we're going with,
no,
we want to follow the policy and the guidelines in this Exhibit A, then, you know.
Yeah, that's in there. That's why I put it. That's why I said it.
But it's all, I mean, Craig, it's only our departments or our services that are involved in this.
Right.
So,
right.
Okay.
Because
if you've
got to make a motion.
Okay, then
I'll
clarify the motion. I move that we allow the applicant to submit plans in accordance with guidelines A2 and that this item be put back on the agenda at next month's meeting.
I don't know if we, I guess I just, I, the thing about resubmit or whatever is problematic.
Oh, okay, not just, resubmit, but make
but
sure that the that staff has adequate information, provided that 2 weeks is sufficient time for staff to review this.
Well, I think we would set 2 weeks as the goal, but it can't be a drop dead date. Because
okay.
If, I mean,
2 weeks.
And we will try and do our best on that.
Okay.
I'll go along with that amendment.
There's an amendment.
Well,
he's the motion maker.
Well, I know, but I second it, so I'm going along with what
okay.
he handed.
Yeah.
Jan, is that something that can be written? Was that clear enough?
I can get it from...
Oh, okay.
Well, I think the essence of what you're saying is that
we're directing staff to work with the applicant to go ahead and make sure that they've met the submittal requirements, and then we route it through the requirements in this policy and hopefully get it back to this board at the meeting in August.
Right. And
I'm paraphrasing, but I think that's the intent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason is if you look at the 2006 conditional intent to serve, it does have all the other boards considered, like the Regional Water Quality Board and the Coastal Commission. So it has those requirements.
Well, those would all be conditions of the issuance of a will serve letter.
Right. And they were back in 2006.
Right. They were. I mean, there's no way around those.
Right. Right. So we have good guidelines there if we wanted.
I mean, if I understand correctly, what you're asking to do is basically circulate this through staff and update the 2006.
Correct.
Today.
Yes. That's exactly right.
Mr. President, I just need to clarify. In the staff report, there is his request for an intent to serve. There were no attachments that are mentioned to it. There are a couple things that follow, including the resolution from the 2006 board. If we don't have the documents that are required, then they're going to need to be submitted to staff.
All right.
And I just want to make sure that the board understands
that. No, I think it's clear that the applicant's representative and staff have to meet to see what deficiencies they. I mean, my take is that
we don't do this very often.
We have to fulfill the requirements in our ordinance, and that, I think that this is just insurance that we're following the proper process.
Right.
There's no
gap. It's a formality, but we need to.
Well, I don't know if it's a formality,
but it's necessary.
Basically, this is the process we're required to follow, and we're not sure it's been followed up to this point, so we want to revisit it to make sure that we follow the correct procedure.
Right.
That,
okay, we're good.
Okay, it's taking us a little while to get there, but
we got there.
Can we take a vote then, please?
Okay.
A roll call vote.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director you started this.
Yes.
I'm just trying to remember what was said.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
So this will be tentatively agendized for 2 weeks from today. Obviously, the burden is on the applicant's representative to get together with staff and make sure that we fulfill these requirements. But I would say that it would be my expectation that staff would try to expedite this because it really has. I mean, if there's anything we can do to make sure we move it expeditiously, we can't. I mean, we're not going to fall all over ourselves, but if it's something we can move forward, I'd like to get it back sooner than later.
Okay.
Okay. With that, then, I'll declare exhaustion and I.
Works for me.
Okay, advisory committee appointment. Consider appointment to the Finance Advisory Committee to fill vacant position. There is a staff recommendation. Pardon me, a staff report, which is fairly straightforward. There's two applicants. I just want to clarify the procedural process that we're going to follow here. Our bylaws call for the appointment of all candidates by the president. I'm going to defer that at this point because we're only looking at one appointment here, so I'm going to make it a board decision rather than a president's decision at this point. I mean, we can take. You know, you guys have to approve it anyway. So
well,
I think
yeah.
we can just have a discussion of the.
A little background. You know, we lost a regular member. We had the luxury of having an alternate, and Gary Freiberg. So he's moved up.
The alternate was moved up.
And now we have to fill the alternate spot.
Okay. So with that, then we'll go to public comment. The least public comment we've ever had in a meeting.
I know.
Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. I mean, you basically have two applicants, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I move that we accept Bob Stevenson as the alternate.
We have a second for that.
I'll second that.
Discussion on that. I mean, we have two qualified candidates. Both
right.
have lived here for a long time.
Right.
Both with the knowledge of the community. Jeff's been involved for a long time. Bob was on the CST, so it is what it is.
I've worked with Bob before in the past in a wastewater subcommittee back in 2005.
So I, you know, I enjoyed working with him. I haven't had any committee work with Jeff Edwards yet.
Bob's a contractor, I mean.
Yeah.
Any discussion?
Well, hang on. Look at this and that. You know, then again, you look at this.
That's what I said.
This is, finance advisory. You know, Jeff Edwards, finance is kind of what he does. I mean, yeah, so. Putting both things out there for discussion.
I have nothing to add.
Anybody have anything to add? So we have a motion on the floor.
I think they're both qualified. I mean,
I do too. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a motion on the floor and second. Any further discussion? No. All right. We'll take a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. So Bob will be our new alternate member to the Financial Advisory Committee. Staff will
letters will be sent out tomorrow.
They'll inform him. Okay, so that's the last item on our agenda is appointment of Water Resource Advisory Committee alternative representative. I'm going to vent briefly. I know there's a staff report there, but we did submit names to the county with different alternative members. Mm-hmm. The county dropped the ball at least twice. So right now our appointed alternate member is Mr. Gilmore.
Mm-hmm.
The board itself,
where is he?
The president of the board appointed Leonard as our representative. Me as our alternate. That was for.
Gonna have to.
We can do this.
I'm taking all 3 minutes too.
We have six. That gives us 3 minutes.
Well, we can keep talking. We're next.
Sorry.
Go. Richard Margaretson, I don't have any problem with the staff recommendation. My concern is the representation from this community on RAC. There's been attendance in the past, but when issues have come up, I have a concern that Mr. Gibson's district representative to the RAC is Mr. Garfinkel. I'm just giving you some examples of how the advocacy to this community has been lacking in the past. When the issue about bringing the water recycling plan came to the committee, Bill made no comments and left before the vote to bring it before them. That's the district representative representing all four communities, well, five communities in Mr. Gibson's district. It's from this community, and he did not advocate for this community and for the RAC to look at that document. Past members appointed from this board, not necessarily current ones, I'm just saying past members, have not advocated for things to come before that board. And I'm hoping that the general manager gets up to speed really quick on the water issues in this community, because the LCP is potentially coming out. I'm hoping the RAC looks at that. And in your discussion on the Farbstein thing with Jeff, there have been dramatic changes since 2006. In 2006, this district pumped almost 300 million gallons. We're down to 228. Consumed. 228. Seawater intrusion has moved further inland. That's a dramatic change. We need that advocacy before RAC and that message sent to the county. And I have no problem with this, but I'm hoping that our advocates are a little more vocal, because our representative appointed by Mr. Gibson has been absent, even when he's there. I'm going to have to extend the meeting because we're going back into closed session. So I'll make the motion myself. So.
Okay.
Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Reluctantly. Second.
Any objection to unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the meeting's extended. Okay. All right. Thank you, Gwen.
As Gwen Taylor, as an advocate for the RAC, when I have been going to the RAC in attendance for almost 40 years, I can tell you that their lack of representation from this community has been very obvious. And one of the things that when requests from the public to the RAC, and we never got any support from our representative, was for nitrate testing, number one. Number two, when we asked for recycled water and have it on the agenda, we never got any support from anyone, whether it be the general manager or whether it be a representative from the CSD. What we need is someone who is not afraid to speak up and say exactly what needs to be said regarding this community. We have a problem of saltwater intrusion. We've asked for help. We've never gotten it. And unfortunately, we don't have anybody who's ready, if you wish, to lobby the RAC to get anything on the agenda. We have to have representation, not just verbal, not just bodily, but to get out there and lobby for this community. We are sadly in need of people to represent us, and if we have a general manager that is willing and ready, more power to her, we need her. We don't have anyone right now, including our second district representative. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. For the record here, I'd like to correct the record. Director Muthart and myself were both at the RAC meeting, and we did ask that the recycled be agendized. So unfortunately, the powers that be determined that the recycling plan was, I'm not still quite sure why it wasn't agendized, but and we probably, with the director, or pardon me, general manager Morrow, we can be more aggressive in that regard. But we did support the agendization of that particular item.
We did. We thought it was agendized, and it was taken away from us.
Okay, so do we have any objection then? Okay, so we'll have unanimous roll, or for that. Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead. No, we need it. It's a resolution. I have to take a roll call. I'm sorry. So I'll move that the board. They can make sure they watch it on channel 20. The letters have to be 6 inches, and they have to have a stroke of half inch. And they have to be visible from the street.
And they can also call station 15 anytime or the district office, 528-9370.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a shame if you need an emergency call made and your numbers aren't visible.
But also add to that is that the chief did meet with the manager of Miners Hardware, and they reemphasized our, we have a display by the numbers, and so they reemphasized that, but they did have a stock of smaller numbers that he's not going to throw out, but they are going to order larger numbers. And then just as a note, I will be absent August 2nd, FYI.
Thank you. Okay, Director Baltimore.
No. I was sitting there listening. To piggyback off that, I'll be out of town August 9th.
Oh.
Okay.
Just you were going to say you were out of town on the 2nd.
No. No, just to let you know. I'd like to see a, I don't know if it's an agendized item or staff direction to review our policy on will serve and intent to serve letters in light of the.
We'll be talking about that next meeting and are tasking for the committees. It's on my list.
Okay, well, that's great.
I already have it there.
And thank you, and good night.
I have no further comments.
I have no comments, but thank you, and have a good month.
Oops, sorry.
Thank you.
Throwing around some water here.
Recycle.
I'd like to thank the community for your continued participation and encourage some people who are watching at home to come into our next meeting.
Thank you. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and adjourn into closed session.